Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Good morning, Jim Ganley.
Well, you look all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed after the Share-a-thon last week. We got you up early a few days. Got you up. Got me up, too.
I had the weekend to recover. Oh, my goodness. The older we get, the earlier the mornings seem, yeah?
But I tell you, a couple times a year, we just have to take our regular programming off the air, kind of go into our Share-a-thon mode so that we can raise the funds that we need to stay on the air the rest of the year, because Catholic Radio here in Indianapolis is listener supported. We do depend entirely, on underwriting from businesses. That's part of it, but the bulk of it is contributions from listeners just like you. So if you participated in our Share-a-thon last week, hey, thanks a bunch. You really did help us out there. And if you were one of the volunteers that helped us, and we had a bunch of them, thank you all very much for your service as well. And I want to just plant a seed in somebody's mind here. Each time we do a Share-a-thon, we have a list of volunteers, but we always have a few that are out of town, a few that are sick, a few that can't make it. So we need to grow that list just a little bit. If you think you could do that, we won't even be asking you to do it until the spring sometime next year. But if you think you could come in and answer the phones for a couple of hours, it's as simple as answering the phone and jotting down their name and the amount of the person wants to make a donation, whatever their donation is. If you could do that, think about it and give us a call and say, yeah, put me down for the next time there and be sure to give me a call. It's not any obligation. You know, you're not like signing up for next January or February or anything like that. No, we'll just call you and see if you're available to do it. But we do need some more people on our list there. So if you'd like to do that, give us a call. 317-870-8400. If you're on the web a lot, you can go to our Catholic Radio website. There's a place where you can volunteer.
You know, I also wanted to take this time. It's the first time we've been on the air since last week. And last week, we buried a family member here at Catholic Radio. Barb Brinkman's husband, Chuck, died after a battle with cancer. And last week we buried him. It was a sad time for the family here at Catholic Radio. Mm-hmm. And I mention it so that maybe you could take a moment out of your day and maybe remember the family in your prayers, offer a little prayer, include them in your morning offering or in your night prayers. I know that Barb would appreciate that, and we just want to remember him most sincerely here at Catholic Radio.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Our guest today on Faith in Action is Father Thomas Hahn. He's from Guerin Catholic High School and actually from St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, right?
That's
God
right.
Bless you. God bless you. We're up early this morning. We're taping an early one because you have a full busy day of teaching and at school. Oh, my goodness. God bless you.
It keeps you busy over at Guerin Catholic. Yeah, there's always excitement over there.
Yeah, but that's good, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they say keeps you young, but I've got a few gray hairs, that's for sure.
Yeah. And working with high school kids, you will have more.
Yeah, they're great, though. They're great. I love them.
You know, what's interesting is a few years ago, we had a German exchange student, a family member, who actually lived with us for about a month. And I wanted him to experience a public school. I called Lawrence Central, and they took him for a week or two. And then I called Guerin Catholic. And they were so tickled to have him. They gave him, issued him a uniform. And every morning when I went, Father, what's his name? Father was greeting us at the door every morning outside. Greeting all the kids, right? Yeah. And I was impressed because he was ever present. Now he's in the Army.
Father Jenko.
Father Jenko. Right. Father Joshua Jenko. Yeah. Right. So at the end of 2 weeks, he liked his uniform so much. I couldn't believe this, but it was like Nike or Adidas or to him,
oh,
you know?
Sure.
And anyway, I said, well, you have to turn your uniform back in, you know? I mean, it was just lent to you for the... And he, and they, because he wanted it so badly.
Oh, give him time.
They gave it to him as a souvenir, and he took it back to Germany, wears it proudly all the time over there.
Oh, that's hilarious. Our kids might get sick to their stomachs at that story. They struggle with it, and that's just part of the Catholic school experience for a lot of people.
Well, but hey, if they went to Germany and they issued them a lederhosen, they'd come
I'll
back
take
in.
Our uniforms over lederhosen any day of the week. Yeah. Don't try to imagine me in lederhosen.
Okay, so we have a lot to talk about, but I thought we'd start with maybe your vocation story. So tell us a little bit about maybe your family of origin, where you grew up, and then let's start with the very first seeds of inkling of a vocation for you.
Sure. I grew up just east of Lafayette, so I'm from our diocese, and several factors growing up that are prominent. First of all, the farm. Also sports, so of course faith, and all those are pretty intertwined, but growing up on the farm, helping dad with the corn and soybean harvest and baling hay. We had cattle on the farm too and some sheep. So learning responsibility and hard work and working together, that was a real joy. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I told you that these things are intertwined. In our barn, we had a basketball hoop and the hayloft, and then my grandpa had one, two uncles had one. So anytime we weren't helping dad feeding the cattle, we would be up shooting jump shots. So it was one or the other really growing up. And my first love really was basketball. And my older brother and I played one-on-one till late at night, about every night of the summer. So big part of our family too. But also the faith was very important to our family. My dad was a cradle Catholic, and my mother converted right after they got married. And they were both faith-filled people who loved the Lord and evidently prayed as a couple and as individuals. Mom would try to lead before school, a little devotional. Of course, we'd roll our eyes and we'd try to, you know, try to pray a family rosary maybe. We'd try to do it on Sunday nights. And of course, you know, as a teenager, that turned into nap time for me. But yeah, they were faithful people. And that really was evident to me early on because my younger brother of mine passed away in a car accident. And seeing my parents bond together, help each other in their grief, and turn to the Lord was very impactful, even to me, who was in elementary school at the time. So a strong family and love to death. And my little sister just graduated from Purdue recently, and very proud of her too, working in Lafayette Matrix Life Care Center for crisis pregnancy. So the seeds of my vocation are from my parents' faith, certainly, and working on the farm, but also my parish priest growing up, Father Tim Alkire, who's still at St. Boniface to this day, taught a deep and even tender love for the Eucharist. Every Sunday night at the parish, they had benediction, and there would be a beautiful song of basically singing good night to Christ, and we would lay a flower in front of the tabernacle. This is tender action of love and belief in the true presence that stuck with me and kept me strong throughout college too. So I was blessed to go to Lafayette Central Catholic High School and play both football and basketball there, and was successful enough in football that I was able to be an invited walk-on at Purdue University as a quarterback for my freshman year. Studied ag economics there because I loved the farm. After that freshman year, my quarterback coach went to Michigan State, and the new quarterback coach kind of had his own vision for the program and brought some of his own recruits. So it became clear that road had ended, and you know, with a little humility, I recognize I probably got to figure out the rest of my life. I know that competitive fire still burns deep within me, MJ. So don't worry. I find outlets for it. I do. But the blessing, God's providence in it all, that once that football was out of the picture, that it consumes you when you're playing collegiate football. You're thinking football. You're studying football. You're playing football. You're sleeping football. So I had time, you know, finally, and I was still exercising. I helped coach junior high football, and I recognized when I was coaching junior high football that I loved throwing spirals to the kids and teaching them how to run routes, but I cared about their souls more. and I cared about their virtue and talking things like that. So that's right when things got prominent with regards to the priesthood bug, and from that point on, I really couldn't shake it. So,
really?
Yeah.
Listeners, if you're just now tuning in, our guest today is Father Thomas Hahn. He's Guerin Catholic High School daily teaching, yeah. As a matter of fact, sophomore theology, and St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. You live at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton.
That's right.
We're talking a little bit about his vocation story. And, you know, you're seamlessly going from your childhood to, you know, high school and college. As you know, faith-filled all the way through, and then you just kind of drop in. That's where the vocation came in. But there didn't seem to be a struggle. I mean, there not pushback from you, or it doesn't sound like maybe from your parents. But did you get any pushback? Was there resistance at all?
I'll say at this point in the story, when I'm a sophomore at Purdue University, I guess it's just rising in my consciousness, and it finally spills out where I begin to talk to my parents and say, I'm thinking about this. And the best thing they ever did, and it wasn't resistance by any means, they were faith-filled people, but they asked a lot of questions, not only for them to understand, you know, what the experience of knowing a vocation is like, but those were forming clarity within me that I had to articulate what was going on in my heart. They were asking, would this sacrifice be tough for you? Would this sacrifice, and what would the seminary be like? And for me to articulate it was so helpful. And the fact that I felt comfortable talking to my parents about it, and we weren't the type of family where they'd sit us down at the dinner table and say, now, have each of you thought about being a priest today? No, they didn't do that. But they lived the faith. They trusted in God on the farm and elsewhere, and that basis was enough. So they didn't have resistance. They just had a lot of questions. At that point, I wasn't ready to leave the college experience behind quite yet. That I think that I was not having too much fun, but I was having fun in that environment. I became aware that even though I loved the farm, it's mainly because I loved helping my dad. And if my dad was ever out of the picture, I don't know if I could do it every day of my life. So I was starting to reconsider major. And through God's providence again, I learned about a program for discernment at Notre Dame, the old college program run by the Congregation of Holy Cross. And so I went up there. I thought it was a perfect fit. I could still be an undergrad at Notre Dame of all places. But we'd pray every day. We'd go to Mass every day. We'd have a priest living in the house that would give formation on a regular basis, and that would give me meat to really chew on to think, is this really going to be for me? And we'd studied philosophy at the time too. So it was at Notre Dame that absolute clarity came into my mind. There, I was sitting down with the priest, and I was just agonizing over, you know, what I should do. I was trying to envision being a husband and a dad with a job and a house, and I was trying to imagine being a priest at a parish, being a pastor. And I was just filled with anxiety. And the priest looked at me and said, quit thinking about the future just for a second. Think about right now. What on a regular basis, on a daily basis, gives you the most joy that you can't conjure up yourself? What is it? And without skipping a beat, I said, it's usually when I'm on campus and I'm talking to either a friend or a classmate or a stranger, and I can help them get a little closer to Jesus. He looked at me like I was an idiot. Like, what does a priest do? What does a priest do every day?
And where is he today?
I know. And so that really was, for oddly enough, the moment it dawned on me. I said, if this is the way God made me to be absolutely joyful in this life, why am I scared?
Right.
So, it took probably over a week after that conversation to really come to grips with it. But it was soon after that I said, this, I'm made to be a priest of Jesus Christ. So by the time I graduated Notre Dame in 2009, I applied to the diocese. I knew a parish priesthood is what I was drawn to, which is funny to say now that I'm not full-time at a parish anymore, but I love the high school. But I knew the whole gamut of life happens at a parish. You're baptizing children, you're doing funerals, as you just mentioned one, and everything in between. So that's what drew me, and I was sent out to Mount St. Mary Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland, which was a fantastic experience of formation and growth in faith, and I was ordained a priest in 2013.
Oh, my goodness.
So I've been a priest a little over 4 years now. As you said, I was St. Elizabeth Seton full-time 2 years, and this is my third year at Guerin Catholic as chaplain.
Third year already.
I know.
Wow. Father Jenko's been 3 years. That's hard to believe because it seemed like he was there for ages, and now he's been gone for 3 years.
Yeah, I keep in touch with him every so often. Seems like he's doing well.
He's a sweetheart.
There's someone we need to get on Faith in Action because
there you go.
His diocese is the military.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right,
for Father Jenko.
And they have their own archbishop, yeah.
And we've never talked to anybody who has that particular vocation, that particular job.
Well, you know, he used to come for the radiothons all the time. He would always come for the radiothons. In fact, often he would come and bring a student or two from Guerin Catholic. I see we need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
If it wasn't for you all, I don't know what I would do.
Catholic Radio Indy.
What an absolute blessing you are.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Father Thomas Hahn, he is at Guerin Catholic High School on campus on a regular basis, teaching sophomore theology and also living at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. You know, I was watching a show the other day and they were talking about theology and philosophy. And I kind of thought in my mind that they go, I guess as a rookie, not being aware. I've never studied either one of those, really. That they kind of go hand in hand. And someone was telling me, or I was watching this program on TV, and they said, actually, they don't. Actually, I mean, philosophy is like ethics, you know, and what you do in certain situations. Mm-hmm. And if you have two situations to choose from, do you do this or do you do that? You know, and I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I mean, I never really thought of it that way.
I think if you read, what comes to mind is John Paul II's encyclical Fides et Ratio, or Faith and Reason. And he would say, yes, they do go together. In fact, faith and reason are the two wings upon which our thought can flourish. So the reason why the seminary process requires at least 2 years of philosophy, in some cases college seminarians 4 years of philosophy, is because it forms the mind's ability to make distinctions and categories with regards to logic, and you take logic as far as you possibly can. Faith takes you even further.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. I love that because this show was talking simply about the logic, about, you know, you make these choices because of this. If A, then B. If B, then C. And they didn't intertwine at all the faith part. And I thought, gosh, I guess I kind of always thought they were braided together, you know, ideally.
I think in terms of evangelization, whether you're going to talk about a topic like abortion or whether you're going to just talk about the faith in general, I think it's good to sharpen our logic skills, our philosophy, so that we can speak the language of the non-faith world to reason them through why maybe their arguments against God are quite flawed. That's pure logic. You don't have to cite scripture for that or cite Thomas Aquinas, but St. Thomas Aquinas, why I mention him, is because he was the best at taking Aristotle and even philosophers from the Muslim and Jewish world and take what was true from it and see it as a foundation for the theology which he can present through the scriptures.
Okay, so, perfect segue to the next thing I want to ask you about.
Sure.
You know, a couple weeks ago we had Cardinal Raymond Burke on as a guest, and it was a seminal moment for us here at Catholic Radio, for me, to be able to sit and chat with him and kind of get his take on the formation, or the lack of formation, really, that we've lost the last two or three generations. There's so many adults my age, 10 years younger, 10 years older, who hunger for more and have wanted more. And you're in a high school setting right now, and you're talking about teaching theology, okay, and bringing Thomas Aquinas in, because I do think that we need to arm our youth with faith and reason, because they will be questioned. They will need to bring into, you know, their confirmation promises of defending their faith. We need that sometimes on a regular basis. Heck, just getting on Facebook anymore the last couple of, for pity's sake, you're getting attacked all day long. So help our listeners understand how you do that in the classroom on a regular basis, because, you know, most kids at Guerin Catholic are Catholic, but not all are.
Mm-hmm. No, I'd say about over 85% of them are. Okay. But we appreciate the folks that aren't there. They lend a tremendous perspective in the classroom and elsewhere. But I don't know if the students would articulate it this way, but I think they feel like they have missed out on an inheritance they deserve. They have,
well, that's a good way to put it.
They know that, I think they sense that prior generations were better formed, better equipped. And even though it's a challenge intellectually to form yourself in the ways of faith and the details, in the end, they thirst for it. And they might, yeah, like I said, they might complain about, theology being a bit rigorous. They actually are excited by seeing the connections, with regards to where Christ is hidden in the Old Testament and where our church is revealed in the New Testament. So they actually do get excited about it. I think their minds are sponges when they're younger. They are wanting to make connections and they're able to. So I think they actually get excited about the prospect.
I agree. I agree completely. In fact, Cardinal Burke was saying exactly the same thing, that we sell them short, that we mm-hmm. don't give them enough credit for being sponges and for yeah. being completely open, you know, sure. to the possibilities. So let's talk about Guerin Catholic a little bit.
Sure.
I think it's a wonderful Catholic high school, wonderful school. Let's talk a little bit about what you do on campus to kind of encourage their faith life. I mean, do you have retreats that are offered, that are encouraged on a regular basis? Or?
Sure. I'm blessed to be chaplain, which entails being a part of the administrative team at the high school, but also being on faculty, so I'm in the classroom, and I think it's a blessing too. And I work in concert with a couple of campus ministers on staff, that they're the main folks that are planning the service and also the retreats. So every class goes on a retreat. Junior year, it's a more extensive, maybe like a 3.5-day retreat, and they're all pretty impactful. The first one is a tremendous one. We go down to St. Mary of the Woods and walk in the footsteps of St. Theodore Guerin. And there are so few high schools in America that can say that their patroness is within driving distance. Mm-hmm. And we got to take advantage of that. And her tomb is just right there. It's a blessing. So we do retreats. There's other ways we try to foster their faith too. There's other clubs. There's actually a little evangelization apologetics club that is active. There's a beautiful club for women to understand what virtuous beauty is. There's a club that Magnificat prays rosaries after school on Fridays and does other Marian devotions throughout the year. We try to make our liturgies as beautiful and as reverent as possible so that it can be an authentic encounter with Christ. And there's, in the end, a lot of energy, especially at our all-school masses, which anybody is invited to come to experience our school and experience the faith of our students. And there's other initiatives. In November, we just started, we did this last year too. It's from the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. They have a website for this, the Nazarite Challenge, where all the boys, they can sign up for this. They, if they commit to 15 minutes of prayer before school in our chapel, and commit to one act of self-denial throughout the November, and promise
one act a day of self-denial.
It's more like a Lenten denial type okay. of idea there, okay. but in the end, they don't have to shave.
Oh boy!
It's kind of a Catholic twist on yeah. No Shave November. They used to request this like for prostate cancer awareness. Right, I was right, like, right, you don't right. even know what a prostate is, right. kid. Yeah. So we they have to make a promise that anybody that comments on their facial hair, they have to talk about the faith. So it's an evangelization thing too.
Oh, okay, I like that.
So this year we're adding in the female component. We used to call it decades in denial, but in the end, the girls have to commit to a decade of the rosary a day.
Okay, good.
And then they have to take one cosmetic feature and deny themselves that. So that's a November kind of faith kind of program we're trying. And here, just in a day or so, I'm going to take a trip with 25 guys to Chicago on a pilgrimage. We're going to go see St. John Cantius, the Shrine of Christ's Passion.
Oh, yes.
And we're going to actually stay at Mundelein Seminary.
Oh, so, yeah.
to experience vocations, which is an important part of our school too. We want those kids to discover what God's got in store for them.
Gosh, you're just playing right into my hand.
I'm trying.
That's because the next thing, if you're just now tuning in, listeners, our guest today, Father Thomas Ahn, Guerin Catholic High School, and he's also in residence at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. But that was my next question, vocations.
Sure.
Since you were talking about your vocation, and we've had so many priests here on Faith in Action who talk about high school, even if it was started before, but sure. In high school there was a lot of questioning. Is this it, and so at Guerin Catholic, do you have something kind of in place? Are you actively opening the door, actively recruiting, actively talking about vocations, so that I'm talking about men and women.
You bet.
Because we get a lot of women also through our doors who say, gosh, I mean, there's a lot of emphasis on the priest, but there's still a lot of women vocations
You bet. I think with regards to curriculum, we have a senior course called Christian Vocation, where we're talking about each of the vocations in depth theologically and practically. There's also a speaker every year during Catholic Schools Week that'll talk about vocations. But in the end, it's a language we use at the school. It's when you ask the kids, especially their juniors and seniors, what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to study? We're asking, what do you think God's got in store?
Amen.
Why is he worthy of our trust? And we hope those kids are convinced that God is worthy of trust. I just look to him and seek his will, and that will play out with my benefit.
You know, it's so gratifying to hear you say that, because, you know, growing up, everybody always asks, you know, little kids, what do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up? Okay. And we started here at Catholic Radio during Catholic Schools Week instead asking, and this was 10, 15 years ago, what do you think God is calling to? What do you think God is asking you
Sometimes
to be?
Those match up, and often they do,
right?
But
right.
He's worthy of our trust, certainly.
We're just about out of time, Father. God bless you for being our guest, Father Thomas Ahn, Guerin Catholic High School, sophomore theology teacher, and also at Seton. I wonder if in closing, we have a little bit less than a minute, you could kind of wrap up with a thought or two, and then your blessing.
Well, I'll conclude by looking back on my own story, the value of families that pray together, that have joy in the home, that there's peace there, and that's what I pray for our families, that families stay together, that they love one another and forgive one another, but also the value of Catholic education in our diocese and throughout the state and throughout our country and our world, that if we can infuse every subject with the logic that God is truly the creator of the universe and has a providential plan for each of us, I think that could transform the world, those
Amen.
Two things.
Amen. And Father, could you offer us your blessing?
Sure, it'd be my privilege. Through the imposition of my priestly hands and through the intercession of the most blessed Virgin Mary and all the saints and angels in heaven, especially St. Theodore Guerin, may Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.